Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We don't have a pocket. We left off at verse 9, right. And last week we learned that when Paul was chastising them somewhat, that they weren't mature enough to even judge a very small matters that they were having in Corinth. And we notice he said in verse 4, he says, "If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren." You notice that that is a sad commentary for the Corinthians. And as many churches as we have today, and as much as we attend services, we're not too far from this. There's a brother will sue brother in a minute. You remember that cartoon strip, Spy versus Spy? You remember that? That's what reminded me of that, where they're always out to get each other. Mm-hmm. And you think we're talking about believers. Now you think that's when he said, "I speak this to your shame," that's a shame. Where you would take your brother to right, he says, to law, and he says, and that before unbelievers. Do you remember when Paul was before Gallio, and they were having a little dispute, and when they brought him before Gallio, and they said, "If this be a matter about your religion," he says, "You see to that." You know what Scripture said? He cared for none of these things.
Don't bother me with that.
That's it's not even an issue with them. That's what it is. It gives occasion for the adversary to speak reproachfully of us. You can see, look at those Christians. And you think at Corinth, that's one of many issues that they had. And he says, I speak to your shame. Is there not a mature believer among you? Corinth was a capital. It was a big capital of Macedonia. It was a big city. There's a lot of people in Corinth. And a lot of people at that local assembly. And he said, you know what? There's not one person who could settle this matter. Definitely. And to top it off is, he said that, "Don't you know that you shall judge the world? Don't you know that you'll judge angels?" In other words, he was saying, "Don't you know who you really are? Don't you know the position that you've been called to?" It reminds me of our manager is, one of them is a micromanager, and he gets involved in the most petty things. And you think about it. It says, "Don't you know that you run this branch? Don't you know that this is what you're dealing with is below your pay grade and rank. It shouldn't even be on the radar of your interest."
and delegate it out.
And Paul is saying to the Corinthians, he says, what you're dealing with, don't you know that's below your rank? I'm preparing you for to judge the world. I'm preparing you to judge angels. He says your behavior should be as such where they look at you and say, wow.
It's even worse than a micromanager, because it's like they're supposed to be doing this and they can't even do something simple. They can't even do the micromanaging.
Right, because not only is it a very minor detail, but he's so consumed with it and he can't even address that correctly. You know what? Look at this verse in Deuteronomy. I believe it's chapter, I want to say 4, but I may have to look for that for a moment. Yeah, chapter 4, yeah. Deuteronomy chapter 4. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had no idea really who they were. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Their trail through the wilderness was things would happen to prepare them. And God would... God's,
he's Jehovah.
He was, well, thank you. He would be equipping them, not only to trust him, but it would give them an idea of the more God showed them, the more they would have confidence in who they were. That makes sense? You are where they would say, you know what, there's, as long as we stick with God and his word, there's nothing that we won't be able to do. So when they got to the border of that land, and when he told them to go in and check it out, they should have said, oh, you know, two people said that. We're well able. Mm-hmm. You know what it said? The scripture said because they had a different spirit. But here's the deal. When they came out, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your fathers giveth you. He's giving them this doctrine. He's telling them the doctrine that I give you, it'll equip you to do what? To live and to do what?
Yes.
To go in and possess the land. And look at verse 6. Therefore, keep therefore and do them, for this is your what?
Wisdom
and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Now, compare that with the Corinthians, where the people in Corinth, they were supposed to look at the Corinthians and say, what a wise and understanding people. They should be able to look at them and see that, you know what, God's working in those people. And they would look at them and say, what a wise and understanding people. But they looked at them and said, what a mess. What a mess of people. They got all types of things going on in there, in that assembly. And Paul had to say, he says, when they went in, they were to Israel. When Israel went into that land, they were to take over all those nations that were in there. in a sense, you know what they would be doing? They would be judging those nations. They would be judging those nations. They would not, the nations would not be righteous or holy enough to do what? Or not just to judge themselves, but they wouldn't
fight back.
Or to fight back, that's true. They wouldn't be righteous or holy enough to stay in the land. That's what, you know what? When God told them, he says, don't do these things that they do. Because when they do those things, they do what? They defile the land. He says, therefore, I will spew them out of the land. And you will drive them out and they will take possession of it. He says, and I will go forth and I will, you know, use the same term. He says, I will judge those nations. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He said, don't you know that you'll judge the world? Don't you know that you'll judge angels? Do you know, and this is, he just drops the hint here to the Corinthians because they probably couldn't take it. Well, we know they couldn't. They couldn't take any more because they were carnal. But he drops the hint that you shall judge. Even in chapter 2, I believe he said that there's somebody watching you right now. Do you know who's watching them?
The angels. The heavenly principalities.
He says, I think that God has made us a spectacle to the world, to men, to angels. What would they be watching the Corinthians for?
Well, since the grace of God was a mystery, they're looking to see what God's doing now. That's how they learn about it, because they were messengers to Israel in the Old Testament, but we're now messengers to them of what God's doing today.
You know what? That's, I like that term, messengers. And they, you know what? God said the angels were ministering spirits. They were messengers. And when they see that, they said, if God's got a, you know what? It's no big difference from if you ever worked somewhere. Well, we all worked somewhere. And just suppose that you have somebody coming in, a new employee, and maybe he's got the same position that you have. And he comes in, and what are you watching for?
See how he does or works.
What are you thinking when you watch him?
Can you do something better than
you? You better. You're thinking, you know what?
Can he show me up?
Is he better? Is he better? Is he coming in to replace me? Is he coming in to replace me? How much does he know? How good is he at his job?
What kind of skills he got?
When they're watching you, and they you know what they want to see? They're looking. Paul said in Ephesians, he says, by us. They see the manifold wisdom of God. Is to think that what you were and how, and now think about this, he's talking to the Ephesians when he says that. But when you're looking at the Ephesians, if you're at the Corinthian level of behavior and the angels are looking, you know what they're saying?
I'm not sure about this thing.
They're looking and they're saying, well, he may not be able to use that guy right there.
Jerry Springer episode.
I mean, if you think about it, any sporting event, you have some people who start.
Right.
And then you have some people whose skill level is, you know what? It's not quite there. The Corinthians, their skill level as believers are practicing, displaying the manifold grace of God. It wasn't quite there yet. As a matter of fact, even in chapter 11, when he starts talking about the just the order that was displayed, he says, God's the head. God's the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And the man is the head of the woman. And he says, now for this cause, the woman ought to have power over her head because
of the angels.
And you say, wait a minute, because of the angels? What's that all about? Because they're looking and beholding your what? Order. They're trying to see is what was the angel's flaw? What was their misstep?
Well, they denied their head and they followed the guy that rebelled.
They got out of order.
They got out of order. If you had to use a word for that, what would you use? I have a word in my mind, but I'll let you guys think of a word. What is a word that you would
fallen.
Give? What's that?
Fallen.
Fallen. Yeah. Okay. We can say fallen, but there is a word that I'm looking for.
Rebellion.
Yeah, we can use that. Rebellion. Rebellious. Mm-hmm. But it has to do with the stepping out of order.
Being disobedient.
Being disobedient, usurping. Yeah, I'll just. My mind. What's that? I'm thinking of as far as them being in submission. The opposite of that.
Being
I'm thinking of a word. No. I'm looking for a word. They were.
They were not
in submission. Their rank. They were
defiant.
Yeah, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. So,
well, what's your word?
I don't know. I was looking for a word that was the opposite.
You had a word.
I was looking. Well, I was
maybe
thinking
he just
of.
Remember, he was helping me.
Right. Right.
Oh.
They were. Let's make up a word. They were desubmissive.
Is rebellious.
So yeah, they were rebellious. But you notice that this is what, and he has to bring to their mind, this is what he's looking for in the Corinthians. To the exact opposite would be for them to be walking in order, in the doctrine, glorifying the doctrine, magnifying the doctrine. So whether it was the world or the angels who are observing that, they would see. As Paul said, they would look and behold your joy and order in the Lord. But they're looking and they don't see order. They don't see
chaos.
Grace working. They see chaos. They don't see the wisdom and understanding. They see just the opposite.
They see what they're living already, probably. Or like most people, it's like they look to Christians to see, you know, what's so special about that? Why do I need God?
That's exactly what it is.
So different. So I'm just going to go on.
Well, more than the
life.
Rebellious angels, the elect are watching too.
Right. That's where, or some, like Mike was saying Sunday. Yeah. But the thing is it's a lesson to all.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. And either, you know what? Either you are a good letter. Or a bad letter.
Getting
an F. Right.
Wouldn't a big part of the angel, I guess, disobeying is, I guess, pride? I mean, I guess.
Sure. It was a.
I guess I understood that's what Lucifer, but as far as the other angels.
They just follow him.
You know what you. In order to submit, you'd have to give up what? Or you just said it. In order to. You'd have to give up. You'd have to give up your pride in order to submit.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So when you see that, that's why he says because of the angels. He says you should keep that order because of the angels. What?
Meaning you don't want to get out of order like they did?
Right. You meaning if he's chosen you as your, as his new elect or for service, what's the big deal? If they're doing the same thing that they did, why pick them? Just use the ones that fail. You know, you, for example, you if you have a bad employee, they're not producing, you get a hire another employee who's just as bad and who's just as unproductive. Now what do you have?
Double trouble.
Yes.
So he says, the reason I brought you in here is to do the exact opposite of what they did. I need you to be productive. I need you to be submissive. That way you show them how it's supposed to be done.
Performance is a bad word, but in the realm of corporate world, that would be a performance improvement plan.
That's right. Right. So that's us. That was the Corinthians. But they didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's why he had to say, Don't you know this? Know ye not? That's right. So look at verse, he says that I speak this to your shame, and in verse 7 he says, Now therefore, because you've done the opposite of those things, now therefore there is utterly, completely, wholly, without a doubt, there is what? A fault among you. Because ye go to law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Verse 9, know ye not. There it is, Jenny. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why is he telling them that?
They're acting just like the world.
He says, the unrighteous, he says, God's not using them. God has no use for them. God has no use for, he says, don't you know that God has no use for the unrighteous? Why not? Because they don't yield. Thank you. Because they are not what?
Submissive.
They're not submissive to the doctrine. That's what, you know what? In Hebrews said the very thing he says, he maketh his angels ministers of. That's what they wait for. They wait for him to say, go here, go there, do this. Do that. That is their sole responsibility.
That just reminded me of the Roman soldier that went to Jesus and he said, you don't have to come because I too am a man under
authority.
And if you say it, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says, I say to one, goeth, and he goes. He says, so all you have to do is say the word.
Yeah. What a great faith.
Yes.
And he says, the unrighteous shall not inherit. They have no position there. Corinthians, did you know that? Corinthians, did you know that? You're the Corinthians. You said, did you know that, Corinthians? And he gives the list. Doesn't he?
Yeah.
They're the grace of God go
out.
You know, but he says, and such
were
some of you.
I love it.
But There you go. But ye are what?
Washed.
But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And he gives a, he, you know what? There's been a change in you guys.
Yeah.
You've been out of, as he says in 15, you're out of Adam and in what?
Christ.
You're out of the,
your identity
out of,
has changed.
You're out of the out of service group and into the in service group. You're off the bench and you're in the game now. You're washed, right? He said, "You're washed. You're you're cleansed. You're set apart. You're declared righteous." In the name, and it wasn't no secret formula. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce you clean. It wasn't. It was his by his authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means. It's in this, his by his authority, you have this. If it's by his authority, which is by his whatever his accomplishment was, and his authority, it wasn't by what?
Your performance.
Their performance. And he said, such were some of you. And if you look at the Corinthian behavior, they did those and then some.
They were probably squirming in their seats when he was reading the list.
You know,
so there was a... not even named among the Gentiles.
That's right. You know what? This is when my pastor in Detroit, when he would preach, you know, preach his sermons or whatever, and he'd get to some of those where those things where, you know what, you'd sit in there and he might say some things and it's on your roll, like they say, he's down your roll, and it would be, I can remember those days where, you know, he'd be preaching or whatever it was, and I would curl my toes in my shoe. Because it's just, you know, it's just that reaction, you know, where you're like, oh boy.
You feel exposed.
That's right. You think that, you know what, you think that people are looking at you. You think that that's Frank. And they don't know what, their toes are curling too. And it's, it, you know what, you think about that.
You start turning red.
Because you know what, you're just looking straight. Don't make eye contact, right. Just look straight ahead, they won't know.
Can't wait to grab the handbook.
Right. And you know what I like though? It's just the word of God. It has nothing to do with you. He doesn't know. He's just preaching the word. And that's what, when Paul's talking to the Corinthians, you think one of those 10 things hit somebody in Corinth? He knows that. And he said, and such what? Such, maybe some of you were that. He didn't say that. He didn't say maybe some of you were that. He says what?
Such were some of you.
Without a doubt. He knew that. He said, but your position has changed. And thanks to God and the Spirit that has done this work. Now his goal is to remind them of their position. To remind them of who they are. From chapter 1, he says, I'm trying to remind you guys that you're sanctified. Set apart, not to do what you want to do, but to do what he's called you to do. To be who he's called you to be. And he says, verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now, he reminds them. He says, all things are what? All things are lawful. What does he mean when he says that all things are lawful?
They don't take away our position, our identity, our salvation.
Is he talking about back in the day when they were all trying to keep the law?
You can say that if this is
when I forget who said it, Peter maybe said he was like, oh no, I've never had any meat.
When Peter used that, when he said that, why did he tell the Lord, I've never eaten anything common or unclean?
Because that was prior to the transition. He was under
laws. Because all things were not lawful.
Right.
So, because he had what? He had restrictions. There are some things that he could do, and there's some things that he couldn't do. That's why he says some things were
lawful
and some things were unlawful. Some things I can do, some things I can't do. And Paul says, now your new identity, Corinthians, he says, guess what you can do?
Eat catfish.
Eat catfish, pork chops, scrimps. Shrimps. But I was thinking of yes. he threw me off. It was the Corinthians could do what? So you're trying to tell me when he listed those things, he listed those 10 things and he went right into this. He says, some of you were this. And then he jumps right over here and says, all things are what?
You can do it. You've been forgiven, but it's not. You're going to reap what you sow.
He says, you can do it. You've been forgiven, you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. You can do these things, but he said they're all lawful. He says you don't have any restrictions. You talk about grace? You can't say that. You can't tell a believer that, you know what you're doing, you can do that. Mm-hmm. You hear what I said? You can't tell a believer what you're doing, you could do that. Y'all still didn't get it. You can't tell a believer what you're doing right now. You can do that.
Because it might not be expedient. It isn't expedient.
I'm going to say it one more time. With feeling. Watch. I'm saying this. You could, if you're talking to a believer, you can tell Jenny, you're drinking, you're abusing the alcohol, you can do that. And God is not. He's not angry with you.
Right.
God could not. He won't come and say,
you have fallen from your position.
Right.
But that's right. He won't say that. Why not?
Because you're saved.
It's your position is not based on what you did. It's what he did.
Because her drinking is what?
Lawful.
You can't tell believers that.
Why not?
Why not? That's a good. Why not?
That's what he wants to do.
Everybody thinks that they're still under the restrictions.
Right. I think every sin has different ranks of what's worse than the other.
They think these are level. They think these numbers that Paul listed like they're levels of sin.
Yeah.
But you know what? Well, here you go.
This is the number one on my list.
Do you know why there's 10 there?
10 commandments? And it's a number of...
We're going to find out. Yeah, keep that in mind. We're going to try to get... Maybe we'll get down here.
I thought
she's got tired of writing.
Oh, no, no, no. That's, but he said, "There's it's lawful for you." But he says, but all things are not expedient. You know what? That's the word where... Well, we'll say here. Here. What's that?
It's not good for you.
It's not... Definitely not good. Here, here, here's the maturity here. That's where, that's you, where maturity, here's you. The carnal person.
Saved and under grace.
That's right.
Carnal.
Yet carnal.
Immature. Don't know. Not studying.
Etc. Here you are. What... Here's the distance from your carnality to your maturity, right? Mm-hmm. What's your, what's God's aim, and what should be your aim?
Quickly get to maturity.
To what?
Quickly
get to maturity. I love that. He's...
Yeah, you can put God just above maturity, because when you're carnal, you're farther away from Him. He never moves; you move from Him, and then. As you get more mature, you get closer to Him.
You know what? That would be great, but He's here too.
Well, I mean, when somebody says, "Oh, I just don't feel God is near me," well, usually it's He's there, but it's like they're not seeking Him.
Your fellowship is...
Yeah, you know what? That's great, because He said the carnal mind is what?
Enmity.
Enmity. That's why you feel like God's not there, well, because...
Well, and when they say you don't feel like it, it's because they're looking for God in their emotions and not in the doctrine.
Or, enmity is what? This, now this is grace. Enmity is this.
Hatred.
It's hatred. The carnal, he says, the carnal man... The carnality, the carnal mind hates God. He's not looking for God.
Looking for his own
one. He's looking for his own, right. He's got his own interests in mind. That's where, like you said, Jenny, is when you talk about carnal, you don't think God's over there, but He's there.
Right.
Look, if you're a believer, the moment you believe, where is He?
He's in you.
He's in you.
I'm just thinking about something I heard in church one time, talking about this old man and his wife driving in a pickup truck. And when they were young, they used to sit next to each other. And love was young. And as they got older, the woman was like way over here at the passenger side door. And she's like, "Why don't we ever just sit next to close to each other like we used to?" And he's like, "I didn't move."
She moved. You know, that's now that's a great practical. That's the importance of communication. Not just even with believers in God, with their relationship with God, is, you know what, we could ride. I remember we could go from here, from Memphis to south of Jackson. My wife and I, we're out in the car, and. And that's just riding.
And everything
okay. No, you know what? Nothing. Just, you know what? So, and yet, you know what? Sometimes you can be upset. Sometimes you're not upset. But there's still no communication. And sometimes I can ride and I'll think, I wonder what she's thinking. Yeah.
But you didn't ask,
did
you?
And I didn't ask.
Sometimes
we're just like,
any for your thoughts.
Giggles on the
truth. So you think about it. That might make it a long ride. But you think about it, we do God the same way. Where He's in us. He's in there. And you don't... This is how you talk to God right here.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hear from Him.
Yeah.
And then your communication with prayer, thanking Him for the things He's done, meditating on His Word. But the carnal man, he doesn't do that. So, but you said the thing is from the carnal believer standpoint and getting to maturity, you said what? You want to get there?
Fast.
You want to get there?
He wants us to get there as fast as possible.
As fast as possible.
Without speed bumps.
Without speed bumps. That's right. And we have those speed bumps. You know what? Those are those times where we were. Annette just said, I'm hungry. And I hate when I feel that way because I can't concentrate. She hit a speed bump. And you know what? You know what? Paul said this to Timothy. He says, I can't think of the name. He says, tell him to bring the books. Let me look at that.
Yes.
It's the way he said it is what I want. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Especially the parchments or something like that.
Oh, it's before that. He says, look at
especially the parchments.
2 Timothy, 4. Here's what I want, though. Before he says that, verse 9, he says what? Do thy diligence to come to me shortly. And then he goes on to tell him what he wants. And he says, but the thing that I want, he says, do thy what?
Diligence.
What does he mean when he says that?
Your best, your utmost, whatever.
What does he have in mind, though? Do thy diligence. Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly. Where is that other?
What verse are you concentrating on?
21. Look at verse 21.
Chapter what?
4:21. He says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come. Verse 9. Do thy diligence to come what?
Shortly.
Do thy diligence to come. Well, that's right. Shortly unto me. Now verse 21. Do thy diligence to come
before
winter.
Hurry up.
Eubulus. What?
Hurry up. Quickly. God's got lots of patience.
Hurry up.
He's impatient on this.
Quickly.
Get studied up so we can communicate.
Wait too long, you're going to get back into the old nature.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's right. I said, you know what? We went around the block just to show you this. When he said this, all things are lawful, but all things are not what?
Expedient.
They're not. Hey, you get it. He says,
it's going to slow you down.
It's going to slow you down. From what?
Getting
to maturity. He says all those little things that you indulge in, they're what?
Rabbit trails.
They're rabbit trails.
Or what Jim Staley would say, they're rabbi trails.
they're spiritual speed bumps.
Yeah.
Sure, you can do that. But it's going to what? It's going to bog you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hinder your growth. Paul said this. He says, what I want, what God wants, he wants you to hurry up to what?
Mature.
He wants you to get mature what?
Quickly.
Shortly. Before winter.
Uh-oh.
And he knows the way that you do that is taking heed to the doctrine and unto thyself. And continue in them.
Make no provision for the flesh.
And that's why he goes to the Corinthians. He says, meat's for the belly. Oh, you know what? Well, we'll pick it up there.
That's good. Well, that's real good. Right. That's right.
We'll have to pick it up next week because I'm going to keep our time there.
Very good.